Our Dharma talk tonight will be given by Bamasai Zen priest, senior Dharma teacher, and the Shuso, or head of practice for this retreat, Laura Wallace.
Good evening, everyone. I feel so at home with all of you here. I thought tonight we could take a look at this thing that we call progress. There's a beautiful quote in our text that we're using here on Coming and Going Sesshin, this Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shunryu Suzuki. And Suzuki Roshi says, after you have practiced for a while, you will realize that it is not possible to make rapid, extraordinary progress. Even though you try very hard, the progress you make is always little by little. When I came across that line, it struck me such a relief. So many things that the teachings of Zen are such a relief to me. Often because they are so different. In fact, sometimes almost exactly opposite to the conditioning that I have had in my life. This idea of progress that is something that we should make. We should make progress, and something that in the business world were quite highly valued for making progress and making progress quickly. I worked in the high-tech industry, and making progress quickly was highly prized and rewarded. And this way of making progress seemed very clearly defined. You started, there was a middle, and there was a goal. And success was judged on how quickly you got to that goal and how well. Sometimes quality was involved as well. And not so this Zen practice. On so many levels, not so. Even the idea of progress, what could that be? What could that mean? I think when I first started practicing, I tried to apply what I knew about progress to this practice, but of course it did not apply. This spiritual practice, not about progress, not affected by progress in the traditional sense of the word. Also, I noticed for myself how tied to my own identity, progress, the idea of progress was, I am making progress. And this was a good thing. Not making progress was a form, disappointment and discouragement and failure. Thankfully and gratefully, I have come to understand differently in my Zen practice. I I think, of course, one of the most useful questions for me was, whose practice is this? And who's making what in terms of progress? So, you know, we hear the teaching, not our practice. Right? So what in the world would progress be? And yet, as a human being, it still arises sometimes for me, not going fast enough, so little time left. Of course, we never know how much time we have left on this earth, but I have lived many decades now and feel that time is getting shorter and shorter. Of course, it was just a story anyway. I never knew from the beginning how much time I had. Still a story now. But I feel an urgency to wake up. So important to wake up. Come on. But I find over and over again, not my practice, not my timetable, not up to me, not my business, as we sometimes say. This other aspect of this quote that I read talks about hard work. No matter how hard we work, progress is little by little. So I was thinking a bit about hard work and effort, and again, my ideas and concepts that I grew up with and became conditioned about, hard work was just, I know how to work hard. I was raised by two very, very hardworking people. It's what I saw, it's what I learned, and I actually enjoy working hard, sometimes too much. And I found in my life that hard work often paid off, and it paid off enough so that I came to believe that that would be an answer. Just work hard, and it will solve the problem. I had a rude awakening at one point in my life where I had a job. It was during a very bad recession, and had lost my job, and found another one that really was not well suited to me, but jobs were very few and far between. I took it, and I worked very hard at it, and I failed terribly. And I remember feeling quite stunned at the realization that hard work hadn't mattered in the aspect of whether I succeeded or failed. I had worked very, very hard, as usual, but it didn't matter. I failed anyway. It was a wonderful teaching, a Dharma gate that I treasure. And this idea of working hard at our practice, this to me, there's a kind of an edge here. There is effort. It takes effort to come here, to carve out the time to be here, to practice together, to make arrangements, to dedicate time, energy to this practice. This takes effort. And yet, this is not about working hard. and we sit in the Zendo and we practice wholeheartedly, sometimes half-heartedly, but we practice with the fullest heart that we can muster, and the most sincerity that we can muster. And it is enough. Because again, the status of our practice is none of our business. The way our practice unfolds is not up to us. Quite a different way to understand this, so different from other parts of my life. There was a Peanuts cartoon, and I'm going to blank on some of the characters, but the young one is trying to learn some mathematics, and she says to Charlie Brown, you know, how many times does 24 go into 12? And he says, 24 doesn't go into 12. And Lucy pipes up and says, it does if you push. This was how I lived my life. It does if you push. And such a wonderful relief to know that I don't need to push in this practice. Showing up every moment with how I am in this very moment is enough. And I'm going to leave you tonight with another line from this text. It's Suzuki Roshi's encouragement to us. And when I read it, I thought, oh, yes. He says, so it is necessary for us to encourage ourselves and to make an effort up to the last moment when all effort disappears. Thank you. So I invite everyone to come forward in Dharma dialogue with questions, comments, reflections.
Oh, thank you, Laura. You were really speaking my language there. I spent so much of my life being a power driver, and I can relate to that Lucy comment. And at this point in my life, it just feels like it's blowing up for me everywhere. I mean, blowing up is probably the wrong word, but it's just like, well, it ain't going to work here, and it ain't going to work here, and it just ain't going to work anymore. And so being with that all over, what is progress then? Just showing up who I am. And I had the great honor and privilege to do a music, all-day music with Melissa's daughter. And I've learned something so new there about not working hard. And in that not working hard and it almost being none of my business, like showing up and putting in the effort and then what comes out isn't really up to me. And so I've been feeling more into what life is music, which is like a new a new flash to me. So thank you.
Thank you. And what a gift it is, just going to sound funny, but what a gift it is when things blow up in our life, right? We think we run from it, right? And of course, even sometimes when it happens, our first reaction is, no, not that, right? But somehow things, they arrive and they're gifts. They turn out differently than we expect, as you say.
So a couple of years ago, I remember hearing this gentleman right here in the middle row, Aaron. He said something that struck me. He said he wasn't sure what all Zen had done for him. Perhaps it had improved his golf game. He didn't know, and there he is. And here he is, very inspirational. And just keeps coming and doing it. And that's a lot of why I'm here. Not just him, but, a lot.
The golf game?
That's right.
I'm just here for Aaron. When he doesn't show up, I just go upstairs, go to bed. But what I'm hearing you say, Mike, is so wonderful. And I love the way you're holding yourself there, Aaron. All this attention. At the beginning, we are looking for something to achieve. We really are. All of us are. And, then we get to this point where we think, I don't know what it's doing for me. And then there's some kind of settling in. And I know, Aaron, maybe you can speak to this yourself, but Aaron has become a priest. He's ordained as a priest. He's like really committed to this, shaved his head and everything. He's wearing a hat so you can't see. but it is something to, we have to start where we are, right? And then sort of give up and not know anymore. And then something settles and goes kind of kerplunk for us. And then I think that whole process begins again, from what I can tell.
Well it's interesting that he says, little by little, mm-hmm. you make progress. Mm-hmm. And it's such a tender thing. Like, you speak so wonderfully, Laura, about how it's not that kind of goal like other goals. But then you say, I want to wake up.
Yeah.
Right? And all of us actually are here because we want something.
Yeah.
We can say, well, no, I don't really want to. I'm like Aaron. But I think there is this little by little, and there's sometimes moments of the light bulb goes off, or there's we get it, we taste, we taste our food, or we are present in our life, and we're grateful. And if we think that's the goal, then we try to protect it, and then we suffer more. But I think there is this goal of wearing ourselves down, that does require wholehearted effort. Like you were saying, Christine, show up and make your best effort, and then receive whatever comes. And impossible to measure. And one thing that feels so important to me is since it's an infinite journey, this awakening, this self-awareness, it actually doesn't matter where you are on the line, right? Because compared to the infinity, it's all zero, We're all at 0.0. Great, I'm at 0. And yet there is practice. We can maybe open our hearts to ourselves in some ways we couldn't when we get in stuck and maybe can open our hearts when we can't open our hearts to ourselves. So, mm-hmm. so I love this little by little, and if you try to keep track of it, you're looking in the wrong mm-hmm. direction. Mm-hmm. It is much more mysterious than that.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add one more thing there about this passion to want to wake up. Mm-hmm. This passion. It's not sort of a, I guess so. I'm trying to wake up, If it happens, great. If it doesn't, so, it's like, I want to do it. It's really, I got to do it. I got to wake up. And I think this is what our ancestor, who I love dearly, Ehe Dogen talks about, housing the thought of enlightenment. The passion is there. Wake up. I want to wake up. It really matters. Mm-hmm. This is life and death. This is my life. What am I going to do with it? Right? Before it's gone, before I'm that flash of lightning in the sky, I'm here and then I'm gone. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about the hungry ghost that was mm-hmm. discussed in honor during today's dinner ceremony. And incidentally, there's actually a little bakery in Northampton called the Hungry Ghost. Perfect name for a bakery. I never knew that was a phrase in Buddhism before, so I would go there kind of attracted by the name. What does this mean? And now I will appreciate their pastries a lot more next time I go there.
They're very small pastries.
I'll take 10,000.
Never enough.
That's the tagline. Hungry Ghost Bakery, never enough.
But I'm thinking too, in terms of that my hungry ghost is always hungry for progress, for always wanting to make progress in everything that I care about and everything that I try to work hard towards. And I'm thinking, it's okay to be hungry and accept that is always going to be there, and also just acknowledge that it's not ever going to be filled, and both of those things I think are okay.
And I think that desire, that hunger, is part of the fire of our life. And when it doesn't have to be a problem, then even longing for awakening is just longing for awakening. And it's quite powerful and beautiful. And I don't have to go running around somewhere else. It's like, here it is. This is the thing itself. Yeah.
And there appears to be a longing that's built into being human. And I believe it is this longing for awakening. But it because we don't have the vocabulary for it in our culture so much, when it starts to arise, we dress it up with whatever's available. So a lot of people come to this temple wanting to be happier, calmer, more peaceful, the whole nine yards, right? And that the wanting part, it doesn't matter what the object of the wanting is, what the idea of the goal is, because now, we know, as David said, that the goal is situated at infinity, so it doesn't matter, how long it takes us to get to nowhere. We're always going there. But so it's really important, I think, when you were talking so passionately just now about the longing for enlightenment, I think it takes a while to know that the longing is for enlightenment, because we have an idea of what enlightenment is. Mm. And so it's longing for fill in the blank, better golf game. it could be anything, right? And so these hungry ghosts are so important in our practice, that they are this part of ourselves that just wants, that says over and over again, I want, and can never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And the iconography is a little tiny throat and a big belly. just this little tiny progress.
Yeah.
And I think that to cherish the longing itself and to see how the mind keeps creating ideas of what the longing is for. Because we get ideas about awakening and enlightenment too that are completely off base all the time. But we keep doing them, they decay. We keep doing them, they decay. And eventually we kind of embrace the longing and realize that the longing is what we've been longing for the whole time. It's already here in the form of longing. That's an amazing teaching. And that's part of the teaching of Zen, that everything is already here. And this is the form it's taking. But we can't appreciate it unless we put this kind of effort in. And little by little, things fall away and things are revealed. And we go, oh, if only I'd known this at the beginning. And I also want to call out to whoever the person was in the kitchen a few nights ago who put out this huge cookie and cut it into little tiny pieces. And I don't know if any of you had any of those pieces, but because they were cut into little tiny pieces, they were very satisfying. Little tiny cookies. They must have been from the Hungry Ghost people. So thank you to that person. Seamus. Seamus, and then Lance.
I sometimes have another longing, and it seems to be a longing for death. And because I know this place of working harder and harder, and I also now know the place of diminishing capacity for that. And so then what arises is a terror of stopping. Notwithstanding the longing that Melissa, you've been talking about. So there seems to be some counterpoint longing. And of course, it's exhausting.
The longing to stop, to not stop, or to stop.
I'm not quite. To be terrified of stopping.
To be terrified of stopping.
It's almost as if death is less frightening. Notwithstanding a longing for.
Well, I think
whatever it is we're here for.
But and thank you for sharing that. You know, I think as. At different points in our life, we become conscious of different things. And but I think this terror of stopping, we all have some version of that. Everybody says, I want to slow down until they slow down. And like, oh, now I know why I was so busy. When I slow down, I have to face myself, you know, my demons. If I run hard enough, if I work hard enough... So I think to see our attachment to busyness, you know, our attachment to working hard. You know, I ran a school for many years and I was working with a life coach and I was feeling very pressured. And he said, well, you're the boss, right? I said, well, yeah. So I tried to work slower. And I felt so guilty. I just felt terrible. When I was exhausted, I felt okay. Well, at least I'm exhausted. I've done. I can't do anymore. Who can blame me? But I really saw my attachment to exhaustion and intensity out of this fear. And I think for all of us to see the one of the reasons we keep going is because of the fear of what's going to happen. And so how do we then be with the arising of the fear, just like the arising of longing? You know, here it is, life in the form of, or however it is. Yeah. Thank you.
Liz, you had your hand up, yeah?
I just wanted to add a small thing, and that is in my Ayurveda health studies classes, we have a phrase that's little by little, over and over. And I like that because, and I do say that often to myself, little by little, over by over, over and over every day, because if I get discouraged about, as we were saying, progress or having this idea of progress, and I stop myself and I just say, little by little, over by over. I just be happy with whatever the little is and whatever the over is. because it takes time to get change directions or change your pace or change where you're going, and so you have to be patient and just go little by little, over and over. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Someone to add that to the little bit of the
whole room. Yeah. Well, that's a great description of Zen practice. It really does feel like that, especially on retreat. Mm-hmm. You know, the bell rings and you just go to the same room and the same seat, and there it is again. And mm-hmm. you know, and the progress doesn't feel very tangible, but it is this repetitive settling and committing, recommitting. Really, yeah, and I think that's what you're pointing to as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do that right now.